Well, you know, in our lives we've always got things going on, don't we? And today is no different, and every day with Jesus is better than the day before. We know that. We just sometimes have to remember it, right? There's some things I appreciate that those of you that could make it and those who can make the fellowship dinner. I had rearranged jail so that I could be here for it. And then in the midst of things, the message didn't get delivered only about a week later, but that's okay. Vicki wasn't feeling well, and I wasn't reminding her. But so we'll have at that. Interesting thing. I know the date. Anyway, one day last week, and I had read Revelation 19:10, and it says, "Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, 'No, don't worship. I'm a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus.'" We testify about our faith in Jesus. He says, "For worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus." And in my Evernote, I want my life to be a clear witness for Jesus. That's been my desire for a long time. But you know how the Bible works? How just sometimes things stand out to you. And I had written that note, "I want to be a clear witness for Jesus." Now, God doesn't, I'm not one who thinks that God arranges problems or that God arranges obstacles. I have obstacles before God ever arranges them. Last week, a guy, I don't know what happened to him, but he was a fellow that was a pastor here before, and he said that God has ways of doing things to slow you down if you need to slow down. And I just said, "Well, I don't know what happened to you or who did it, but I'm praying for you." But I have a hard time with the idea that, you know, God's been throwing up obstacles. And then this morning I was praying, and and this thing about, well, God knew everything about everything before it happened. And so all of this stuff, all the little nuances and all the crooks and corners in our lives that he wrote down, and that was his plan. I don't like that idea. Now, if I get to heaven and God says, "Roger, you could have just as well bought into it." Well, okay, but here's the thing. I get this message from this corrections officer, and she tells me what I can be praying for, and she tells me about two or three or four members of her family that have cancer. And I think, how encouraging would it be for her if I wrote back and said, "Well, you know, God planned all this so that you would open your eyes to Jesus"? Suppose I'd get a response? I don't know. But if I said something like that to somebody and they said that to me, I wouldn't have given a response. And so I think that things happen in life. I say this all the time. They just do. But if somehow we think that God caused them to teach us something, then how can we pray to get out of them? "Don't cure me until I've learned what you want me to learn, Lord." Roger, there's something messed up about that. I said, "By my stripes you are healed. How could I possibly make you sick?" So anyway, I want to be a clear witness for Jesus. Now, I do think, and I don't think there, I think that we recognize things more when we want to recognize them more. And I think if we look at them as opportunities, and so for me, when I started looking at inconvenience, okay? Inconvenience. Nobody loves to be inconvenienced. But some inconveniences are better than others. John and Vicki, you need to go babysit today. We need to get out of here and eat dinner so you can go babysit today. Now, babysitting is really an inconvenience, but it's not a terrible inconvenience. But even the good inconveniences at times can be eye rollers. You know what I mean? They just can't. Things just can come up, you know. And so I was reading the scripture in Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah, okay, we got to get to Nehemiah here. Nehemiah, oh, we got to get to the right place to get Nehemiah. I could just look at it on my phone. Oh, another inconvenience is I think I left my Bible in the church in Miller. I was looking for it today. I was trying to figure out what I did, and the thing I figure out is that probably I set it down on the service table to help set up chairs at the end. But it doesn't really matter. But it's a little inconvenient. I'm running around trying, what did I do with my Bible? What did I do with my Bible? So I run out and look at my pickup. I do all of these things. It's a little inconvenience. And I kind of smile at that. And then my printer won't print much of anything. It's time to switch to the new printer that I bought. A little inconvenience. And about the third thing in, I'm going, this is funny. And then I get ready to come over, and the printer, the copier, had copied 4 copies instead of 25. It ran out of paper. I'm just laughing. It wasn't I, Rachel. She's trying to figure out what I'm laughing about, and I'm just looking at the add-up of things, you know, of how these things, they can just come, but if we'll recognize them for what they are, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal to us, is it? No. So, anyway, in Nehemiah, what is that? Oh, I'm in the wrong. I'm going to say, whoa, what I wrote down, Isaiah, what an inconvenience that is. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 17. Okay, good. That's another thing. Sometimes you know about inconveniences. When I was at Donna's funeral, I didn't take any reading glasses because I don't really need the reading glasses most of the time, except the light was different there. So I had a hard time reading, but it was just inconvenient. I can make something up. It isn't a big deal, you know, but it's like all these things. And I'm thinking all of this stuff began to come about after I put my note in my Evernote that said I want to be a clear witness for Jesus. Now, all those things would go on anyway. But I recognize them more because I asked for that more so that I can see that this is an opportunity to be a clear witness for Jesus. You see, if we're not aware of our desire or our need to be a clear witness for Jesus, then it's not really a big deal if we don't do it right because we didn't know any better. Paul said that. He said, the things I did before I didn't know any better. He did some big things before he knew any better. Okay? But we're different. What sort of people ought we to be in order to have a clear witness for Jesus? So in Nehemiah, in chapter 8, verse 17, we're going to go before 17 because we're going to read about what came about. So the people went out and they brought back branches. You see, they should proclaim the word and spread it thoroughly. We're going to just keep moving up until I get to the verse I want. They found written in the law. They were all standing out there listening to the law, weeping and repenting. Listening to what God had told them to do, you see, because when they listened to what God had told them to do and they measured it to what they'd been doing, it pierced their heart. They didn't have their own Bibles, so they didn't sit around and let anything pierce their heart all the time. And so they just gently drifted down the stream. Have you ever drifted a little? Have you ever got so busy you drifted? Have you ever got so caught up in something else that you thought was so important that you drifted away from what you knew would be the right way to handle it? Has anybody ever done that? You're lying if you try to tell me no. We've all done that. We've done it big time, small time, we've done it. So anyway, they're out there and they're listening to the law. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded them through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim the word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. So out into the hill country and bring back branches of olives and wild olive trees from myrtle palms and shade trees and make temporary shelters as it is written. So the people went out and they brought back branches and they built themselves temporary shelters in their own roofs and in their courtyards. They got beautiful houses. They're building shelters on their roof. They got courtyards. We're going to put up our little shelter. What if What if, let's see, what if LeVon jumped up with a prophecy that said, the Lord has said that we should build little tents in the basement of the church and that we should all spend 7 days there celebrating the Lord. Well, our first thought would be, what should I get to build my shelter, right? I wish. Let's be honest. Vaughn must have had pizza last night. You know, I mean, we would have, but here's the deal. If it was from the Lord, it would have a witness to our spirit, but we would still have to go along with that. Okay? Oh, I know this is Old Testament. God wouldn't do those things these days. But what if? That would be a little inconvenient, wouldn't it? It's as these folks went and they did this, and they were extremely happy. Celebrating and doing what was a clear witness of what the Lord wanted. Probably the greatest opportunities in our lives to be clear witnesses is in the midst of an inconvenience. So the storm came and the storm went and my tractor's running and my tractor is cleaning out and actually my finishing my mother's and then headed up to Wayne's, and you can't head anywhere when it will not move. Now, in my old tractor that was a regular clutch shift type thing, you knew pretty well when your clutch was slipping. But I guess that was what was happening with my tractor. The clutch was slipping. It didn't tell me it was slipping. It didn't sound like it was slipping. It just wasn't moving as well. I'm not a tractor mechanic. It just didn't occur to me. Then it wasn't moving at all. Inconvenient? Yep, it was inconvenient. Called my source of fixing my inconvenience. Well, first of all, young Mashik came over and looked at it, and he lays down there and he's taking it apart. And I said, well, you know, we aren't going to have the part. Well, I mean, at least you'll know what you got. And he didn't figure it out, which is amazing. I call my wife. My wife comes, and my wife hooks the tractor onto the truck. Praise the Lord. 2, 3, 4, I don't know how many weeks ago, Rachel had picked up this long tow strap that I had wanted from Harbor Freight. It was a good deal. Now, I didn't need that tow strap. But you never know when you're going to need it. And I open up the back of my pickup when Vicki gets there, and I got this little skinny tow strap there. And I thought I got something different. I don't know. And there was that big, beautiful, thick tow strap. Long tow strap. Give me lots of room between me and Vicki when she's towing me. Man, that inconvenience was a hoot because I was already prepared for it. But already I was handling that inconvenience kind of better than I had considered. But then, why? What's the difference with that? So she hooked on to me, and she towed me. She missed the first road she was supposed to turn on. I'm back there. And she goes, yeah, I know I missed it. She was looking at something else. I don't know. Anyway, she missed that one. The next one she turned, and it was great for the pickup, but the tractor just about brought me over the curb. But that's okay. She had plenty of truck to do. She was doing her best. It doesn't make any difference. And I'm just trying to get her to slow down or go or whatever she's going to do. And then I was calling people. So I'm calling people, and we come to the stop sign, and I'm giving the whoa sign. She didn't see me with the whoa sign, but I could stop her. I still had the engine running and the brakes I could put on. So I stopped her. She figured out to stop. Little inconveniences, but she got me out there, and we got it there. And we didn't know if they were going to get it worked on or they weren't going to get it worked on. And I'm running the four-wheeler, blowing stuff out of the way and doing stuff. And I get a phone call, Roger, your tractor's done. Ho, ho, ho. I got out of Titans cheaper than a tank of gas almost. You know, just that don't happen, but they took good care of me. But they said that thing had to be slipping for a long time. I said, well, it probably was if you say it was, but It seems like it just quit. It had to be, okay, it was slipping for a long time then. You know, I don't know. It probably started slipping last summer, but it wasn't inconvenient last summer. But, you know, we have these things going on. But I think about when I looked at that and I thought about these people rejoiced in that inconvenience. That was not convenient to go out and gather branches. It wasn't convenient to build a shelter, and it certainly wasn't convenient to live in the shelter for 7 days while they celebrated. Come on, you know, build it. Let it be a little token thing out in the courtyard. Let it be a little deal on the roof so everybody sees we got it. But live in a thing? Honey, we're going to live in a corner of the garage for January to celebrate Jesus. She's smiling, for all who would like to say she's smiling. But I bet she ain't going to spend a night there. No. And if I say, honey, I really think the Lord wants us to do it, she might hesitate for a moment, but then she would say, I'll talk to the Lord. It must not be for me too. You know? I could grab her and haul her out there. She'd fight her way back in. It just wouldn't happen. And God doesn't ask us to do things like that. But he does ask us to be a clear witness for Jesus. To take every opportunity. You know, James said, rejoice at every trial. It's an opportunity. That just doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes, but it's true. It's just an opportunity to be a clear witness for Jesus. Even when things are going really, really well, we have an opportunity to be a clear witness for Jesus. And we need to take those too. But we need to look at what it is to be and how it works and what it can be. And when I look and I think, my goodness, something as simple as handling inconveniences better is a clear witness for Jesus. Yesterday we zipped a trip on the ice up to Aberdeen for a wedding. And, you know, I think there were good reasons for it. I thought so. That's why I suggested that we probably should show up. This young gal was a gal that was a friend of Rachel's in high school and a good friend, a friend of the family. And she wanted us to come, to this wedding. And so we were going to go to the wedding. And, you know, if they'd had the wedding at 2, it would have been better with the reception right after, but they had it at 4. And then their reception wasn't going to start till 6:30, one of those deals where you're going to wait 2 hours for that. And that just wouldn't really fit greatly into my plan. And so it probably wasn't all convenient for Rachel to have to come home, because she could have been Miss Social Butterfly at this thing, and a lot of old volleyball players were there because this gal had played volleyball at Warner, you know. And so we all had different things, but we got the most important thing done. But we didn't get everything done perfectly. We still had to eat. Now, I didn't have to eat, but the family has to eat. The girls wanted to eat. Then they wanted to eat at a place I don't like to eat. They know I don't like to eat at that place. But Vicky voted for that place because it's an opportunity with somebody else along. She can get to go to that place. And so, you know, we go there, and you know, it's fine. I just, you know, to me, McDonald's is just easier, the dollar menu, and you're in and out, and you're good, you know. But that's me. And so, anyway, so it wasn't convenient. And I was just a little concerned because what they said and what I thought I ordered were two different things, and I thought it was one of those deals. This is useless information, okay, but I'll just throw it out there. I don't like Subways, because I went to a Subway once, and when I ordered a sandwich, and I knew what price it was, but everything they let me add to it, they charged me for at the end. I said, I don't like that. Now, somebody told me they shouldn't have done that. Doesn't make any difference. If we get Subways now, somebody else orders my Subway. Yeah, Rachel's shaking her head at me. It's not convenient to see how her dad works sometimes. But that's just the way that is, okay? And so I just was mentioning I didn't like that. Dad, why do you have to complain? Now, I don't know who handled the inconvenience worse there. I'll let her decide that. So I wasn't complaining. I just want to know what I'm going to have to... If it makes you feel any better, I watched it come up on the deal. I'd never think to look and see how it comes up on the deal. I said, okay, fine. If it was what it was supposed to be. But you know what her answer was? I says, what it was supposed to be? I think so. Think so isn't good enough. You know, that's that commercial about, you know, is this doctor good? He's okay. Okay? Yeah, he's okay. Okay isn't good enough sometimes. Little things like that can be inconvenient. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of things. Life is sometimes pretty inconvenient. When my printer wouldn't print in any color very well this morning. And you see, what I've been trying to do is use up the cartridges that I had bought for this printer that just doesn't print right anymore. And I could get away with printing him in dark blue because the blue worked, but because my black printer just doesn't seem to work right now. I'm trying to get all my ink used up, and so I'm nursing that, and I'm thinking that maybe I'm going to bury that printer and bite the bullet on the few cartridges of ink that I have left and start over with a printer that works. But I was smiling. I'm just going, okay, we'll just keep trying. It's inconvenient. Praise the Lord. I had time to do that almost, you know. Little things. And you know, I mean, it's like sickness is an inconvenience. Now, that seems like an understatement in some instances, but that's what it is. It interrupts our life. And oftentimes it will not only interrupt our life, it will interrupt the lives of those around us. But if you call it an inconvenience to somebody that isn't looking at it as an inconvenience or looking at it as a catastrophe, but even a catastrophe is just an inconvenience. You see, anything that disrupts our life is inconvenient. But the Lord has given us ways to overcome those disruptions. And so we need to be mindful of those ways to overcome and desiring to overcome them. And so as I'm looking at this, and then I'm looking at my Evernote note that talks to me about I want to be a clear witness for Jesus, and then I look at inconveniences and I'm going, oh, this'll work. This'll work. How I handle inconveniences gives me the opportunity to be a clear witness for Jesus. If I am rolling down the road in my tractor behind Vicky trying to get her to turn where I want to turn, and I am turning the tractor cab blue with my language trying to get her to listen to me, and Wayne's over there shoveling out, I'm going to be a clear witness, aren't I? Wayne's going to hear that tractor go by with somebody swearing and cussing and pitching a fit at his wife, and he's going to think, looked like the pastor's tractor, but it better not be. Yep. Well, you know, here's the deal. You get inconvenienced and you rip somebody's head off, or you give them traffic signals, or you give them whatever you want to give, or you're doing all kinds of stuff, and then somebody comes along and says, oh, God bless you. They say, hello. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Awareness of, is it a godly countenance that I'm bearing, that I'm carrying? Not just when it's convenient, but even when it's inconvenient, God is good. And the awareness of that, again and again and again, more and more and more, is what people need to see. It's what people need to experience, because there's a world full of people who haven't had a clear witness of Jesus or for Jesus, and they don't have any interest in Jesus, but they have an interest in something that will give them hope. Just like a little gal, a corrections officer, who all of a sudden is wondering, would you visit? And the sweet confirmation part of that is I've been noticing this little gal for about 3 weeks, and 1 week she'd look really happy, and another week she'd look kind of troubled, and I was wondering about her. Actually was praying about what I could do about that, and all of a sudden, here comes a message. Do you visit people? Yeah, I visit with people all the time. Is it always convenient? Not necessarily. Sometimes I have an opportunity in how I respond when, like, a guy or a gal will want to visit at the jail, and I will say, when I get over here, I will. And it's like they think that, you know, I just have all the time in the world to just come over there. Well, I do sometimes have all the time in the world to come over, and sometimes I don't, but I can't get there every day that I want to. And then sometimes when you get there, you can't get in. And that's inconvenient. And they say, oh, sorry, Roger. It's no big deal. We'll be okay. You see, it's easy for me to handle that inconvenience because I've got to maintain who I am there. It's just like an inconvenience of you guys going over to babysit for a couple days. They're your grandkids. It's not so inconvenient. It doesn't exactly fit every schedule, but hey, what are we going to do? But if somebody drives in off the road that you've never seen or never known, and they pull up to your farm and they say, excuse me, we've really got some things we got to do. Would you watch our kids for a couple days? Say, what? Better take a moment to at least pray about that, you know? Because sometimes we already have our answers set up. Sometimes we have our mind made up before the question comes. And since we have our mind made up before the question comes, we think we've had the answer from God, but we might not. Now, I said at the beginning of this, I think I mentioned the fact in the devotion that, you know, we don't wake up in the morning and pray to be inconvenienced. But it may be that if we pray to be a clear witness for Jesus, we sort of do pray to be inconvenienced, not because God's going to bring us more inconvenience, but because we're more available for those things, because it's our desire. See, this is my desire to honor you. That's what we sing, isn't it? Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, I just want to honor you, Lord. But please don't inconvenience me too much. I've got a busy week. I've got a busy day. I got things to do. You know, Lord, how busy I am. I inconvenienced Vicki when I asked her to come and pull the tractor, but she loves to do that stuff. She gets in an animated mode, you know. It just reminds me of way back when we went in the ditch right after we got married. She was pulling on her boots, going to jump out and push the car out of the ditch. She weighed about 103 pounds. I said, you aren't going to push that car? She was animated. Well, she was ready to get that thing going because she's done this before, but at the same time, she was a little nervous about it. But with this new strap, we got a lot of room. Last time, we had a pretty short chain. We didn't have room for many mistakes. No brakes because I didn't have a tractor that was running. I didn't have a tractor that had much brakes in the first place. But we made it. And we can make it, folks. We can make it through inconveniences. We can make it through. We can be bright lights that are shining in the darkness. We can be, you know. We can be what God's called us to be. We can be abundantly above and beyond. We can be all of these things and more with a desire. Yeah, we want to be a clear witness. We want to be, as in Corinthians where Paul was writing and he was talking about, and these were the devotions, you know. He said, we don't preach ourselves, we preach Jesus Christ as Lord. and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. When you take on Christ, you take on a servanthood. And he served everyone, and so we become that. And so inconveniences that look like inconveniences, they're really opportunities. They're kind of like trash blows on your yard. And you're thinking, man, wish people would pick up their trash. And then you pick up this piece of trash and it's a $100 bill. Ooh. That inconvenience became a yahoo. For God who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made this light shine in our hearts. He made his light shine in our hearts. See, that's why in our hearts, we've really got this desire to get it right. Just, we have to clear away the cobwebs a little bit. Get things a little bit out of the way sometimes so we can do it. Because this is for Jesus' sake. He made this light shine in our hearts. He gave us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. So we got stuff in us that we haven't used yet. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And we are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. The biggest thing, if we can see it, it's just an inconvenience. But it's not the end. We're hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that this life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. We're perplexed, but we're not in anxiety. It's funny, you know, a lot of people they confess Alzheimer's and they confess dementia and they confess all these things, you know. And, you know, mom keeps telling me now she's getting old, you know, it's a state of mind. But, you know, every time I don't remember something, the enemy will try to say, ah, here it comes. And I always just have an answer, hey, I forgot things when I was a little kid, I'll forget things now too. We have a lot of stuff that goes on around us. We do. And we have a lot of things that try to interrupt. We have a lot of things that do disrupt. And man alive, we have a lot of things that just aren't convenient. Hey, it's not convenient to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. But it's a lot more inconvenient not to. But the world doesn't come to an end when I get up and go to the bathroom. And I don't declare myself to be dead and dying because, my goodness, I'm having to get up in the middle of the night. I think I got up in the middle of the night sometimes when I was younger. But then those nights when you don't, that's like a celebration. We got lots of things we can celebrate. And we really don't have anything that we can't celebrate, except we cannot celebrate the victory that the enemy has if we don't. So we can head into a new year prepared to take on and trample down inconveniences of all sorts and do as they did after they built their little huts and they were living in their huts and they were rejoicing like crazy. What a deal. Honey, it's time to build the hut again. Oh-hoo! It was a great celebration. Right? You see, sometimes the process isn't so celebratory. But the victory always is. And so we see beyond the cross. We see beyond the inconvenience. We see that nothing is too big. Nothing is more than we can handle. Nothing, little big, they're all the same size to Jesus. And he dwells in us richly. And we've been made more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And our heart's desire and the fulfilled life will be a life that has been a clear witness for Jesus. Happy New Year. Father, in Jesus' name, we're grateful. We give you praise and we give you honor. We give you glory forever and ever. Thank you for an amazingly fast 2018. Thank you for everything wonderful you did for us, everything you brought us through, every time you healed us, every sickness you kept us from. And we look forward to a victorious 2019 in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. And Lord, bless the food. Amen.